So, a very warm welcome to you to local news and features for May the 7th, 2025. And we're in batch number one. It's Tim and Uta. We have four news stories for you, and my stories coming up are Matt, Stoke-on-Trent's dentistry deserts, where new patients aren't being accepted, and I don't know what it means by deserts, but I think that might be a typo. And Staffordshire inquest backlog starts to fall as recruitment drive starts. Anita's story is coming up all.
It's still a reflection on the London Marathon. Somebody ran to honour his late mum's fighting spirit. And then we have the second story. Take part in Stoke-on-Trent's centenary celebrations and become a record breaker too.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to do the first story for you. And mapped Stoke-on-Trent dentistry deserts, whatever that means, I have no idea, but hopefully we'll discover, where new patients aren't being accepted. It's still just as difficult to register at an NHS dentist in Stoke-on-Trent as it was over 6 months ago, despite Labour's promise to rebuild NHS dentistry. Updated analysis of the 23 city practices on the NHS Find a Dentist website has revealed 14 or 61%, I think that's 14 to 61%, are still not currently accepting adults aged 18 or over. The situation remains exactly the same as in November when we last crunched the numbers. And it's not just adults who are affected. 52% of NHS dentists in Stoke-on-Trent are still not accepting children aged 17 or under. In reality, many of those that say they are not accepting patients when availability allows may not be or may have years-long waiting lists. Those who cannot get NHS appointments are largely reliant on expensive private care with rural and coastal areas and some of the worst affected. The ongoing lack of NHS dentists is an issue that is nationally across England. Nearly 4,800 of the more than 6,500 dentists on the site, or 73%, are still not currently accepting adults age 18 or over, and this is the same as in November last year. When contacted by the Sentinel as part of a joint investigation with the British Dental Association, 84 out of 100 practices that were listed as accepting new adult patients when availability allows in November were actually not accepting new NHS patients. One stated its waiting list was at least 10 years. In total, 53 constituencies with a combined adult population of 4.8 million still don't have a single available NHS dentist. Meanwhile, 62% of NHS dentists on the site are not accepting children. Overall, 43 constituencies don't have a single practice accepting new child patients, and the latest figures from the Office for National Statistics show that a staggering 88% of people without a dentist who tried to secure NHS dental care in the last month were unsuccessful. Of those, 20% resorted to private dentistry, while a concerning 70% did nothing, with the BDA warning of increased burdens on the health service if early signs of disease go unchecked. Among those who attempted to access NHS dentistry but didn't have a dentist, 27% reported having an urgent need for dental care, with 22% stating that they were in pain. The Labour Party went into the 2024 election promising to reform the NHS contract, fueling the current crisis, to deliver 700,000 new urgent dental appointments and to roll out tried and tested preventive programmes in schools. There has been little material progress on those pledges to date, although from this month, integrated care boards, the NHS bodies that commission health services for regions in England, will be expected to purchase the 700,000 additional urgent care appointments to be delivered by the end of April 2026. So over to Uta now, who's going to do the first story for us in batch number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So, I'm running London Marathon to honour my late mum's fighting spirit. That's not me, but that is the 19-year-old Staffordshire student who participated the London Marathon in memory of his mum who died from a cancerous brain tumour. Aidan Giddens, who had no prior running experience, said, "I will take on the iconic 26.2-mile course to raise funds for brain tumours research." His mum, Joan Cross, sadly died last year from an aggressive and cancerous brain tumour at the age of just 46 years old. Aidan said, "I'll never forget the time in the hospice when Mum was non-responsive, but she still gripped my hand as if she knew I was there and wanted to comfort me. I don't want anyone else to have to go through that, and only a cure for brain tumour can stop this from happening. When Mum was diagnosed, it was a huge shock to all of us. She was always so active and full of life, so to see her deteriorate so rapidly was heartbreaking. She struggled with basic tasks like getting dressed, and it felt like it all happened in the blink of an eye. I'll never forget how difficult it was to watch her go from being so independent to a completely different person, needing 24-hour care. You always see these things happening to other people, but never think it could happen to someone you care about. Running the marathon is my way of honoring her strength and fighting spirit and raising awareness of this disease that took her too soon." Joanne, a former nursery nurse, was a devoted wife and mother who began experiencing severe headaches and short-term memory loss in September 2022. After undergoing MRI scans at Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham, she found a small mass in her head, which later turned out to be a glioblastoma, an aggressive and cancerous brain tumour. Despite multiple surgeries and receiving chemotherapy and radiotherapy, Joanne died in February last year, 18 months after her diagnosis. She's survived by Aidan, her husband Damon, and stepson Dylan, and they were all there during her final days. Despite having no prior running experience, Aidan has fully committed himself to training in preparation of the iconic run. Balancing his studies and a job as a retail assistant with a demanding training schedule, he's gradually increasing his mileage and focusing on building both physical endurance and mental resilience. "Training for the London Marathon," he says, "has been one of the toughest challenges I've ever faced, but also one of the most rewarding. I've always enjoyed working out, but I wasn't interested in running until my friend Carl, who runs a lot, convinced me to take it up and is helping me with my training. I've managed to get a solid routine in place, running at night because it allows me to study and work during the day. There are times when it's really hard, but thinking of Mum and support from my friends and family keeps me going and pushes me to keep putting one foot in front of the other. If anyone is going through a similar experience and wants to do a challenge like this, having a strong supportive group around you is really important." Joanne's brain tumour, a glioblastoma, is the most common type of primary malignant brain tumour in adults, with a devastating survival time of just 12 to 18 months. Although brain tumours are one of the biggest cancer killers, only 1% of national cancer research funding has been allocated to brain tumours since records began in 2002. Aidan said, "It's shocking to learn how little funding goes into researching brain tumours, especially considering how devastating this disease is and how many families it affects. My mum deserved better, and so do all the other people facing this diagnosis. A lot more needs to be done, which is why I'm helping with this fundraising challenge." Carol Robertson, National Events Manager at Brain Tumor Research, said, "We are incredibly grateful to Aidan for taking on such a huge challenge in memory of his mum. His dedication to raising awareness and funds for brain tumor research is truly inspiring. Every step he takes brings us closer to finding better treatments and, ultimately, a cure for brain tumors. We'll be there to cheer Aidan across the finishing line in April," which was actually this weekend. So, to support Aidan's London Marathon fundraiser, visit justgiving.com/page/Aidan-Giddings-17163972240743. Thank you.
Wonderful, many thanks for that. So my next story for you now is Staffordshire Inquest backlog starts to fall as recruitment drive starts. Action to reduce Staffordshire's inquest backlog is starting to work, new figures show. Hundreds of grieving families in Stoke-on-Trent and Staffordshire had been waiting too long to find out why their loved ones died due to capacity problems within the coroner's service. But new figures show that the number of cases over the 6 months statutory time limit for an inquest fell from 297 in December last year to 260 in February this year. The number of cases over 12 months reduced from 136 to 118, while the total number of open cases dropped from 788 to 672. Recruitment of new coroners and support staff over the coming months is expected to drive down those figures further. The coroner's service is paid for by Staffordshire County Council and Stoke-on-Trent City Council, and in December last year, elected members agreed a £519,000 funding boost for new staff to help bring down the backlog. While the recruitment process is still ongoing, other measures are already starting to have an impact, according to a new report. A new triage system, for example, has allowed an instant decision to be made for cases that do not have a duty to investigate, and the report to the Joint Coroner's Committee states that both the Coroner's Office and Case Progression Officers are working more closely to ensure that all cases are progressed within a timely manner, and cases are now being listed in date order to ensure that older cases are given a priority over newer ones. In addition, the reintroduction of written inquests has been proven successful in dealing with straightforward cases where family do not wish to attend. A new full-time area coroner is expected to be in post by July this year, while a temporary area coroner has been recruited and will start in May. Two case progression officers and a part-time executive support worker are also set to be recruited. So over to Uta now, who's going to do the final story for us in batch one.
Thank you, Timbo. Well, this is take part in Stoke-on-Trent's centenary celebrations and become a record breaker too. So it's all about celebrating things. Stoke-on-Trent's summer centenary celebrations are heating up, with communities across the city invited to take part in a history-making big centenary tea party. The event, which takes place at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, July the 8th, will bring residents, businesses, schools and other organizations together for a shared moment of celebration and the chance to break a world record. The event, supported by a wide partnership of local organisations, will see tea parties hosted across the city and beyond in honour of Stoke-on-Trent's 100 years of city status. From local parks and community halls to care homes, schools and office spaces, the big centenary tea party is set to bring communities together in celebration of the centenary. The tea party is being arranged by organisations including YMCA North Staffordshire, Staffordshire Chambers of Commerce, the Community Foundation for Staffordshire, Made in Stoke, Stoke-on-Trent College, VAST, which is V-A-S-T, and Stoke-on-Trent City Council, with support from the Ambassador Theatre Group and a wide range of local partners. Steve Adams, Chief Executive of Community Foundation for Staffordshire and Shropshire, said, "We're thrilled to be part of the big centenary tea party, bringing everyone together to celebrate our wonderful shared history. Let's use this world record attempt to dream big and work together to make the next 100 years just as incredible." Nikki Twemlow, Community and Partnerships Director, YMCA North Staffordshire, said, "We are delighted to be involved in the big centenary tea party and will be supporting the world record attempt. Stoke-on-Trent is a brilliant city, and this feels a perfect way to honour the city's 100-year celebrations and bring communities together." Hassan Rizvi, Principal and CEO of Stoke-on-Trent College, said, "Stoke-on-Trent College is delighted to be supporting the big centenary tea party. This is an opportunity to bring our staff together and celebrate 100 years of Stoke-on-Trent in style." Lisa Healings, Chief Executive of VAST, said, The big centenary tea party is a fantastic opportunity for communities to come together, to build relationships and to celebrate not only the history of our city, but also its future potential. The Lord Mayor of Stoke-on-Trent, Councillor Lynn Sharp, said, "This is going to be a fun-filled event, evolving so many or involving so many people from across our city. I can't wait to sit down, enjoy a friendly chat with others and tuck into a tasty cream tea. Our city's tea sets are famous all over the world, so I can think of a better, well, I can't actually think of a better way for us to get together for a brew in Stoke-on-Trent than this. Many organisations are working behind the scenes to make this special event attempt happen as part of our centenary year celebrations. I'd like to thank them for pulling it all together. And there is still time to take part, and you'll help us get one step closer to possibly beating the record. If this happens, you'll be able to tell your friends and family forevermore, 'I'm a record breaker.'" Tom Nardine, head of projects at Staffordshire Chambers of Commerce, said, "Staffordshire Chambers are proud to support the big centenary tea party, a brilliant celebration of community spirit, connection and 100 years of making a difference. It's an opportunity to show how important it is to bring people together, and what better way than over a cuppa and a slice of cake." Dwayne MacDonald, executive lead at Made in Stoke, said, "This is more than just a tea party. It's a testament to the spirit of our community. We are inviting everyone from our oldest residents to our youngest students to join us in creating a moment in history. The world record attempt aims to gather the largest number of people taking part in a simultaneous cream tea party across multiple venues. From garden gatherings and office events to street parties and family get-togethers, every cup of tea will count towards making history. And for more information on the Big Centenary Tea Party, visit staffordshirechambers.co.uk-teaparty or email teaparty@staffordshirechambers.co.uk or hello@madeinstoke.com.